Christian Assembly. If it's the first time you're here, I pray that you enjoy this service this morning and you're enjoying the presence of God. So welcome. And online, viewers online, welcome to online. And I hope you will be encouraged and blessed by the worship and by the things that we're doing this morning. And I pray that you be encouraged by the Word of God this morning. There are a couple of things that I want to share with you this morning. First of all, I want to welcome also back the Rampasad family. I haven't done that last week. So Brother Rampasad, or Brother Joseph and Flory, and also Renee was gone for a period of time in Trinidad, and welcome back. And I know, Brother Joseph, it seems that you're almost there a little bit longer than your wife. So you went there, you know, for 2 months, and almost 2 months, but it's nice to see you back. And Calvin, it's nice to see you back with us in our midst. May the Lord bless you. And there's many others that are gone this morning. They're not with us this morning. They're on vacation. I don't know about New Hope Christian Assembly, but it seems a lot of people go on vacation. And that's a pretty good thing. You know, they go on vacation on a regular basis, and praise God. And I just, you know, you go out and you spend time with your family and friends. And there's others, and I know there's some watching online, and they're far away. Some might be in the States, and some might be in Trinidad, and some might be in Jamaica, and just welcome everyone. And I just pray that you, when you go out and enjoy yourself, and enjoy yourself with family and friends, and be blessed and bless people around you. So also we want to say it's nice to see Jim back. I know, Jim, you weren't feeling too well. It's God bless you, and it's nice to hear be with that, with us and worshiping the Lord together. So thank you for Brother Jim. And Joyce, obviously Joyce, the supporter, huh? Amen? The supporter's there. I would also like to express our condolences on behalf of New Hope Christian Assembly. We express our condolences to the Ryan family and the loss of their father. It's Tony and Zanette and Stacy. We express our condolences to them. May the Lord, the Holy Spirit, console your hearts. And this is the time of loss of your dad. Also, we want to pray for the sick. Don't forget to pray for the sick. I know you don't, but I want to remind you again, let's pray for the sick when you have some time during the week, when you just get up in the morning. Just, you don't have to. What I do is usually I take the church directory, and I go one-on-one, and I pray for every single person among the church. And I want to just share that with you. Pray for the sick among us. When you see the bulletin, just look at it, see the names. Also, Vince, our dear brother Vince, has sent me an email this morning that his friend Juan is depressed and he's not feeling too well. He's capturing depression, so we want to pray the God's mighty hand, he would deliver him from that depression. Do you know how many people are falling on depression these days? It's day after day we hear people depression. And we as a church, when we hear something like this, we continue to pray for them that they will be delivered from depression. There will be no more medication, but God will deliver them from that depression. Amen? We believe in the power of healing and the power of God. Amen? So there's other things, and we know that Pastor Alan is not here with Pastor Catherine. They're ministering out and they're sharing the ministry, the missions about Uganda and the New Hope Hope Mission that where Pastor Alan works at. And also we have Brother Ed and Glenda. They're out preaching the gospel this day in a church far away from here. I think it's Saskatchewan. So may the Lord just be with them as they minister the gospel to these churches. Now, this morning, we want to go on. Maybe two weeks ago, we did speak about, I had the title of the reason for tithing. And I wanted to, and something happened during that service when we were worshiping the Lord. The Lord just switched the message on my heart and says, no, you're going to switch that and you're going to speak about something else. And I did speak about something else, about the two blind men sitting on the roadside. Now, this morning, I was like, okay, Lord, you better be right here. Like, I want to be in the right thing. I was speaking about tithing this morning here. So, you know, I have to speak about tithing because now it's prompting me, and I ought to speak about it because God is telling me to speak about tithing. Now, if it's your first time you're here, you say, oh, man, this is another church, and they're going to speak about money. So all of us here today are Googling for another church. You can actually Google for another church. No problem, because that church is going to speak about tithing too. Tithing is a part of the Word of God, and the Word of God teaches us about tithing. So I want to do as a minister myself. I got to do my role. I'm not a financial advisor, but I am your pastor. And my role as a pastor is what? Is to speak about everything that comes out of the Word of God and teach you what the Word of God is talking about. So when we talk about tithing, I know some of the people cringe and they get sick. Oh, tithing again. But you know something? I'm going to make it so exciting through the Word of God, it's not going to be one of those tidings. Now, I want to see next week. It's not going to, we're going to be 70 people today. Next week, going to be 30. No, we're not going to be. Next week, going to be 140 people because the Word of God is being spoken this morning. Amen? The reasons of tithing, and I'm excited. We're going to look at Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12 later on, and I'm going to read it. But I'm excited for 2017 for New Hope Christian Assembly. And I'm looking for what God has in store for New Hope Christian Assembly as a family in the church, as singles in the church, and as students even in the church. And I'm praying, and I can tell you something, I'm praying more for you than I've done 6 months ago. The more I'm here, the more I pray for every individual in this place here. And one thing that God is telling me, and God is talking to us here this morning as we started January 1st, He's challenging you and myself that I want to challenge you into greater faith. I want to challenge you to be more like Christ. I want to challenge you more the hunger of God. I want to challenge you for greater love, greater freedom, and greater deliverance. And this is when I want to look at 2017, greater freedom in the name of Jesus. That when we come in the house of God, that there's nothing that's going to put us down, but we're going to be free in Christ and serving and worshiping the Lord Almighty. I just want to challenge you this year, and I'm not going to mess around, and I'm going to step on some toes, and I will during the year. I'm going to step on some toes because God is stepping on my toes, and He's telling me something, and I want to share this to New Hope Christian Assembly. We're not going to go, I'm not going around the bush, but I'm going to be direct this morning, even with tithing. Guided by the Holy Spirit, sensitive by the Holy Spirit, guided by God, and I want God to move and display, the Holy Spirit to move and display, and to open our heart and to open our mind what He really says about tithing. And I'm going to start this morning on the most, one of the most important thing of your areas, your money. When we hear about money, and I want to challenge yourself, though I'm challenging myself. Some of you might be giving and giving more than the above, but I want to challenge, and I would tithing this, and I want to share this morning. It's not about the 10% for me that I want to challenge every one of you this morning. I want to challenge every single one of you, including myself, increasing our tithing. So if someone would give $5 a week, increasing, maybe bring it to $7 a week, and that's it. Because there's reasons why we tithe this morning. So I'm not challenging everybody for 10%, but God is placing on increasing our giving. Because there's reasons why God is encouraging us through the scriptures, and I want to bring out four extreme points for us to be encouraged through the scriptures. Did you know that in the scriptures that Jesus spoke, in Luke, Jesus speaks a lot about money over and over. And He talks more about money than heaven and hell. And if I would take the time and preach about money, it will be I could preach maybe 3 to 4 months on tithing. And I think one of us probably be an empty place here after the fourth month. So Jesus spoke about money not because He loved money, but He spoke about money because He loved people. He didn't talk about money because He was building an empire. He spoke about money because He was building kingdom disciples. And Jesus understood that money is an incredible ability to be used for the kingdom and to allow us to invest for eternal things, to store up treasures in heaven where we can enjoy it forever and ever. Jesus also understood that there's nothing like money that can steal one heart and affection for Jesus Christ. It is a dangerous thing. It's something to be careful of, and we can use it for internal things for ourselves, but it can also steal away our affection for Christ. So over and over, Jesus is warning us to what? We have to have money as no, to be aware not to love money more than the Lord Himself. Money is not evil by itself. But when we come to have money as Lord in our lives, when we come to love it more than the Lord of our lives, then it will become a dangerous thing for our lives. So this morning, I want to come to you with the Spirit of Jesus and guided by the Holy Spirit to challenge New Hope Christian Assembly into this area of money. And if you're your first time you hear it, say, man, I don't want to hear about money this morning. You might say, I might not come back this morning in this church here. But be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Just be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Allow God to speak to you and see what He's talking about when He's talking about money. You see, like I said, I'm not your financial advisor. I'm your pastor. And I can tell you something, I'm concerned about the heart. And if I'm concerned about the heart, Christ is concerned about the heart of the people. If our heart is not in the right place, we would never give. We invest where we love and where we care. If you and I tell me, if you tell me that I love God and you don't tithe, we have a situation, it's a spiritual problem. If I love my children, I'll do everything in my power to do everything for my children because I love and I will invest them. And I love God and I will do everything in my power and everything that I have to give to the Lord itself. So where our heart is, the treasure, you will find. Amen? You can be here, let me tell you, you can be here for 10 years, you can be here for 15 years, but if you have not grown in the knowledge, there's something wrong with your spiritual walk. If you're not grown, if you're a Christian for 10 years and you have not grown in your increasing of your giving, there's something wrong with your spiritual walk. You cannot be a baby all the time. You can't come to church and drink milk all the time. There's supposed to be some solid food. And as you grow in the Lord, there's other things that will happen. But it seems that everyone wants to grow in other things. But when it touches about tithing, when it touches about money, we end up grinching and saying, it's hard to get go. We want God to move in our prayers. We want God to move in our families. We want God, and we let everything go. Everything go, and we go to the street. But when God speaks to us about tithing, we just turn around. We want God to answer our prayers, but we put aside tithing for a moment. Now, I'm not saying that God is going to answer your prayer if you tithe. But I want to just explain to you this morning the reasons of tithing and the effect when we tithe. And I want to go a little bit, you know, faster because it seems it's getting, time is always an issue in this church. You know, and we look at the Old Testament and say, oh, that's just the Old Testament. If the Old Testament is there, it doesn't mean it's not important. Something is important for us. And the Old Testament speaks about the tithing aspect, but it's reaffirmed in the New Testament. It is reaffirmed in Matthew about the giving and the tithing and so forth, in Matthew 23. Just because the Old Testament says it doesn't mean it doesn't matter. The Old Testament has a lot of things day to day for you and I, has lots of principles for you and I, and it reaffirms it over and over in the New Testament. So this morning, four reasons why we should give or increasing our faith. Or increasing our giving. So the first thing, we're going to go to Malachi chapter 3. It's a well-known script that we always looked at, but it seemed that we have heard many messages on this. And I know I'm probably going to get flooded of emails or texting. What kind of message was this? You know, it's beautiful, this. When I finish the end, sometimes I get wonderful encouragement from the church. When, you know, I just finished preaching, God just uses and moves in a mighty way, and people call me or send me a text or an email saying, wow, what a wonderful message this morning. But I want the same thing after I finish today. I want the same thing. Because remember, it's not me, it's God's word that's being preached this morning. Amen? So four things that you and I must do. Why we give. Why do we give? That's what isn't the question, why do we give? Let's look at Malachi chapter 3. I know we have it up there. Can someone just give me a little break and someone come up here and read Malachi chapter 3? Brother Joseph, I'll put you on the spot because we have no time. Malachi chapter 3, verses 6 to 12. Can you please read it?
Because I, Yahweh, have not changed, you descendants of Jacob have not been destroyed.
Stop right there a moment. I have not changed. That's the God that we serve, a God who doesn't change, okay? That's the key words right there. I do not change. Go ahead, brother.
Since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you ask, how can we return? Will a man rob God, yet you are robbing me? You ask, how do we rob you? By not making the payments of the tenth and the contributions. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. Bring the full tenth into the storehouse, so that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out a blessing for you without measure. I will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not ruin the produce of your land, and your vine in your field will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of hosts. Then all the nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts.
Amen. Thank you, Brother Joseph. There's first point I want you to write this down. If you have a chance, you want to write it down. If you want to put it on your heart, write this down here. Why we give is to cultivate our heart for God. You see, when we read this context here, God is giving this prophet a word. And 400 years before silence, before the Messiah has come, a lot of things happen in Malachi. And Malachi ends up with a promise that John the Baptist will come to the forerunner of the Messiah, if we look in Malachi chapter 4. So there are kinds of hints as the Messiah coming right here. And it's the call to the people to return. As we looked at this, to return. So he's calling to return, to repent, come as he's waiting for them. And I love this, the beginning of the new year. It doesn't matter where you were last year to 2016. However, 2017 is a new year. And it's time for us to return to God. Whatever it is, we must return to God. We must not stay in 2016. We must return to God. Because God has greater things for you and I in 2017. Though it might start rocky in some area, it might start, shaky, it's not going well. But we must put aside, and he's telling us, return to me. And he's giving us this wonderful opportunity, this wonderful privilege for you and I, this invitation to return to him. So all the mistakes that we have done in the past, it's okay, put aside, but I'm inviting you to come back to me. And that's a good thing about it, because we're inviting, he's getting inviting from God, and he says, come to me. Many of us have failed. Many of us have fallen short. Many of us have done things in the past. And this is even concerning about our giving. Return to me. If you have not give the way you're supposed to give in 2016, return to me and go in 2017 with a new heart, a new vision, a new way, and you will see God will do greater things. We still have hope because you and I are still breathing today. So what is our slogan? What do you want to call it here? To all the living, there is hope. So there's hope this morning because we're alive today. So he's telling us, come to me, return to me. As long as you are alive today, is the invitation for you and I to return. So don't let the past keep you from returning back to him. So in a nutshell, he's saying, come back, humble yourself, come to me, I'm waiting for you. And that's a wonderful thing that he's given us, a great invitation. In Malachi 3:17, it says this, since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my statutes. You have not kept them. Return to me, and I will return to you, say the Lord of hosts. But you ask, how can I return? Look at this for a moment here. Return to me. So when we return to him, the beautiful thing is, we're not just going to stand there just for the fun of it, but who's returning back to you is God. God will come back to you. You're not going to be alone. Return to me, and I will return back to you. Amen? That's a beautiful promise. You're not going to be going alone, but someone, you're going to get something in return. So he's calling them to return. He's doing that. He's telling them to read the Bible. And that he's not telling them to return to me and read the Bible. He's not telling them to turn to me and pray. Those are important things to do. But in this context here, he's telling them what? Stop robbing me. Stop stealing from me. Stop taking things that belongs to me and you're taking it from me. And I'm going to explain you through the day, through this message this morning, a little illustration. And I want to prepare someone to run up when I say an illustration because it's going to be beneficial for you. In Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. You ask, how do you rob me? But not making the payments of the tenth of your contribution. If you want to get right with God, if you want your heart right with God, stop robbing me. That's what he's saying. Stop taking what belongs to me and give. If you want to come back, what must I do? God's saying, by giving. Why? Because it brings glory to God. Your heart will always follow your treasure. Where you invest in is going to be your heart also. So it's impossible to say that you have a heart for God, but you're not giving. There's a problem there. And we look at it as a spiritual problem. Okay, some of you might be Googling for another church. But you say, I read my Bible, I attend church, I serve all those things, and they're great. They're great doing all those things in the church. But if you're not giving your heart fully, if you're not giving, your heart will never be fully for God. It's like if you have the armor of God and you're missing, all the parts are there and you don't have the sword. There's a problem with that. The tithing comes with the whole thing in your life. Tithing is as important as when you're praying and believing the promises of God. But remember one thing, and I'll be saying it later on. God will never contradict his promises. If he promises something for us, make sure and set assured that God will do it. So we don't have to be afraid of giving. He says, now come to me, because he wants our heart. That's what he wants for. If he has your heart, if you have his heart, he has your heart, isn't great things happen through that? So don't rob me, just come to me. Come to me. Give the tithings. Give. Malachi 3 is referring to the same thing. It's saying you want to get right again. If you want to get back right, all it is by starting by giving. The reality is that you only care what you invest in. If you invest in cars, if you love cars, you will invest in the cars. If you love whatever, having millions of buildings or something, you will invest all your time and your effort and all in that area to have all those buildings. There's nothing wrong. But when you can have the same investment in the kingdom of God, greater things will happen. Your treasure, you'll find it. I will find it. You will find it when we get it. This message is telling me, God, to increase my giving. It is a challenge for every single one of us this morning. So the second thing that I want to look, now, as a 2017, trust me as a friend, trust me as a pastor, I want to have the hunger for God more than before. I want to have more experience with God, more of his freedom, more of his passion. I want our hearts to be cultivated for God. I want you to beat the heart with the heartbeat of God. And I want you to love the things that God loves, and I want you to hate the things that God hates. Point number two. So the first thing is cultivate the heart for God. Point number two, why do we give? To be a faithful steward of God. Malachi 3, verse 7 and 8, since the days of your fathers, you have turned from my statutes, you have not kept them. Return to me, and I return to you, says the Lord of hosts. But you ask, how can we return? Will a man rob God? Yet you're robbing me. You ask, how do we rob you? By not making the payments of the tenth of your contributions. You see, the only thing that you and I are stealing is when something that does not belong to you. So this does not belong to me. And if I take it home, I'm stealing. Everything in this world belongs to him. And now when we take something away from him, you're stealing. You're robbing from the Almighty. Because everything belongs to him. My life, your life, everything, our finances, our situation. It's so easy for us to let go of our situations to God. Oh, God, I give you my problems. But because it belongs to him, huh? But even in our giving, even in our tithing, everything belongs to him. He blesses us so we can bless others. Amen? So we look at this and say, how is the Lord saying that we are robbing from Him? They fail to realize that the money actually belongs to the Lord. And they fail to give back to the Lord. The Bible tells us that the earth belongs to Him. Because in Psalm 24, 1, the earth and everything in it, the world and its inhabitants, belong to the Lord. Everything belongs to God. We are simply stewards of God's resources. If you have a chance to read the parable of the talents in Matthew chapter 25, you'll see it. And it will explain to you and I that everything that belongs to God. It is so interesting enough to we get scared and cringe and just cringe. And when we talk about 10%, but the interesting thing is 100% belongs to Him. So I want to illustrate you something. Who wants a volunteer to come up? Wow, you're going to miss out. Brother Joseph, come up. Now, you know that everything belongs to God. And I'm going to give Joseph $50. This is yours because it's yours. Well, don't leave, brother. Now you're going to give me 10%. It's $5, brother. Now you can go. Do you feel cheated? Do you feel robbed? No. Why? You give me money. Go ahead. Look how simple it was. God gives us 100% and we have a hard time giving 10% back. It doesn't belong to you and it doesn't belong to me. I gave it to Joseph, and the easy thing is Joseph gave me back $5. But he didn't get cheated because he has $45. You see, the Lord gives us 100%, and to us, we have a problem to give 10% back. The other problem is this. The one who is our tithing, the one who are giving 100%, the one who is, you know, giving their 10%, is that they have the idea that 90% belongs to us, to them, and 10% to God. No, 100% belongs to God, and 10% we give back. 100% belongs to God. It's all His, and He gives us. Every day, He has provided. Now, we can sit here and talk about so many stories of God responding, how He's blessed you tremendously with finances. I remember years ago that children's were small, the kids were small, and that night, it was Sunday morning, my wife goes, you have to give all the money you have in your pocket. And I'm looking at it and says, I have nothing. Like, really? There's nothing much. You know, what am I going to give? No, you got to give because it's tithing, whatever it is. You have to give your tithing to the church. I said, we have diapers. We have milk. We have this. No, you got to give. It's biblically, we have to be obedient, and the reasons why we give is important for us. Because we have to prioritize, that's the first thing. Then diapers. In reality, we have that the last. But if we change our perspective and things and looking things. See, we write down every month, okay, Suncor, Fido, or whatever, tell us, we got to pay this. Oh, 10%. But when it gets to that point, there's nothing left. But if we change and put that first, say 10, this is my tithing for the church, and then next, the last one, tough luck. But you know what I'm getting, our priorities. So we get this, and my wife says, put it in. Okay, even upset at me, put it in. Okay, like Italian guy wants to keep his money, you know what I mean? But I've learned through this. So that night we went back to church and I received this letter and I got scared. I says, oh, Lord, I preached the week before. So I thought there's a letter that they hated my sermon or whatever it is. You know, sometimes people can do things like that and confronting me, they send me a letter, you know? So I get this letter and I says, Lord, everything, half of this belongs to you and half of it belongs to me. And I don't know what it was. So I opened this letter. And there was a big, fat check. I was like, whoa. And I remember those words, half belongs to the Lord. I got to give back what he gave me. The point is, he trusted in the Lord. When you look at Malachi 3, how can he send a blessing upon your household if you're robbing from him? He can't. And we always think it's going to be money, but the more we give, the more we get. No, it's not always that way. It's not that way. We can give, but I'd rather have a spiritual blessing that is much more than finances in our life. Is much more that. What use is it that you have $2 million in your account and you can't even get up and walk? And you can't even swallow? But if we have the spiritual blessing, comes more, a lot more than that. There's a lots of expenses in the church. And we have to spend it the right way. What he's saying in this text, money does not belong to you, so the good stewards use it for the kingdom purpose. You know what a beauty of this is? God will provide all your needs, and it's His promises, because it's His promises. And He can never contradict this promise. He commands us to give, so He will provide. So He won't do the opposite of His promise. If God says He's going to provide, He will provide. Because in the Scripture tells us, if He can provide for the birds and the foxes, how much more valuable are we? Aren't we going to be blessed by God? Because tithing is extremely important. And I know you give. And I know you knew. You know why? Because you've done in the past, and you're in this place today because you gave. You bought this place. You invested money for the missionaries and missions all over. You've done that. Thank God that you've done that. But 2017 is another year, and God is challenging us to increase our giving. You know how many things God places on our hearts to do things? I want to start an online radio in this church that we will use people individually to speak the word of God through online radio. We can't do it if we have no funds. We can't go out and bless others through the word of God if we have no funds inside the house, if there's no food inside the house. So the things that God places in our hearts, and we must, as a church, it is our duty to give to the storehouse as we look at it later on. Third thing is, why do we do it? Is in order to invest for the work of God. In Malachi 3 verse 8, 9 says, will a man rob God? Yet you are robbing me. You ask, how do you rob you? By not making the payments of your tenth of your contributions. You are suffering under a curse, yet you, the whole nation, are still robbing me. Bring the full tenth into the house storehouse, that there may be food in my house. Test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. Here it is. Test me. Test the Lord and see that He is good. Test the Lord and see that He will make you overcome situations into your family, into your home, and your finances. Test Him and you'll see what God is going to do. Just the word test. Try Him. He's a God who will never contradict His promise. He has always fulfilled His promise. It always came true. It always happened. When God says it, it happens. If God says to give and I'm going to bless, He is going to bless spiritually, and He's going to bless even in financially. We pray for, we want a job, for example. We want a job and we say, Lord, provide me a job. But we don't get up from our pew and knock on someone's door for a job. We want blessings from God, but we don't take the action to actually give to God. Got to give to God what belongs to Him. You're stealing when we're taking from Him. That's what it is. And I don't want to rob God. Because you know what I'm waiting for 2017? For the floodgates of heaven to pour out in this church. As He already started in January 1st until now, God has poured a spirit among this place. Now, you hear sometimes pastors speak too much about money. And sometimes you want to know what are the motives. It's not us to judge on that. We must be taking the scriptures and applying it to our lives and take it verse by verse. There's actually a pastor that I heard not too long ago. He says that tithing is not even biblically. All Christianity is doing wrong to give money to the church. It's against about tithing. And I'm going to say, I rebuke him because it's biblically for me. It's telling me to give. It's telling me to give to the storehouse. How can you and I bless someone if there's no money in the household? How can we bless someone if there's no food here? There's people that knock on our doors seeking for food, and sometimes we got to turn them away and shut the door because we have nothing to give. But because if we have some money inside the storehouse and give them some bananas, it can bring them a long way and change their life completely. It's all about the heart. It's all about the soul. It's all about disciples. It's not about buildings. It's about people. And we need money to reach out to people. And you can see that even through the scriptures. There are times we use it to make this place, the facade, a little bit better. It's been a long time we haven't done anything in this church. How come we can't do anything in the church? Because if we don't have the money in the church, we can't do it. No, I go home when you buy or purchase a new home. What's the first thing you do? Change it up. You paint. You fix it up. Arrange everything because you wanted to make it your home. It's the same thing in the church of God. We wanted to have a new facade. There's a new leader. There's a new this. We wanted something different. We don't do it because we have no funds for it. Now, it's not just about the facade here. But if there's food in here and someone knocks, you can actually bring some food to someone's house and talk about that person, about Christ. It's all about the heart of a person, the soul of a person. That's the most important thing. What God looks at is the heart. Because we can build mansions here. But you know, sometimes I sing between my messages, I have a mansion just over the hilltop. You know, that's a better mansion than a mansion here. Is that right? So we want to build the mansion. We want to invest in the kingdom of God. We want to give it to the storehouse so we can bless others. We can bless others. And it gives them an opportunity for what? To accept Christ as their personal Savior. You see, New Hope Christian Assembly, the only way which God supports His work is through the giving of His people. This means that the members of New Hope Christian Assembly, not to subtract or additional giving, they participate in supporting missionaries or other ministries or given to the needy for their tithing to the local church. So when we give our tithing to the church, you want to add more to your neighbors? Go ahead. You want to give more to an organization? Go ahead. But the scripture makes it so clear to it says to the storehouse first. The local church. Here is the local. This is your house. This is our house where we place a word. So it comes in for here. If we give it our increasing and our tithing here, the balance will go somewhere else. We can bless someone else. Though many people do that. But it's telling us here first. And then it says, test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. Now we should test the Lord. You can see that you would test God and you will see great things will happen in your life. He's telling me, test me. And I will not send a blessing upon your house. I can't do it if you're not doing it. If you're not giving to me, you're robbing from me. And it's the same thing. We rob God's time at times. We rob time and we rob a lot of things from God. And that's a sin in the eyes of God. So everything in this world belongs to Him, so we must give back to Him. 10%. That's how simple it was. Brother Joseph, I got to give me back that money. But let me tell you something. It was that simple that he gave me back $5 and didn't even care because he goes, he has $45 in his pocket. Now, he was happy. $45. Where? I got $45. Look at this. You see, two loaves and the five fish? We only have that. How many did he feed? You give? Guaranteed God will give back. Guaranteed God will give back. It doesn't have to be just in finances, but it could be even in the spiritual way. I'm getting excited for this because it's going to a conclusion now here. Watch this. I'm going to go a little bit faster. Point number four, why we give? So we can receive blessings from God. Malachi 3, 9 and 12. Go back and I'm going to read verse 10. So it says, test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. So if I will not open the floodgates of heaven and pour out his blessing for you without measure, will rebuke the devourer for you, so that it will not ruin the produce of your land, and your wine and your field will not fail to produce fruit, says the Lord of hosts. Then all nations will consider you fortunate, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. This text is challenging us here this morning. The principle is clear. Jesus says, give and I will be given back to you. Let me clear this up here for a moment. I'm talking about prosperity, because sometimes people preach about if you give $5,000, $1 million will come back. I'm not even touching that area, because I'm not talking about that. It doesn't mean that everyone who gives financially will be rich. Well, there are times when God blesses us financially, and oftentimes he blesses us spiritually, which is a blessing that brings a type of satisfaction that money can never offer. Would you like greater blessings? Would you like greater joy? Would you like greater freedom in your finances that some of us are facing right now and you're stressed about? Let the Lord be the Lord of it. In our God and our family, what would be interesting is about more of a stressful in the area of work. We're so stressed because we get stressed in the finances and it hits our home. Many times we pray, be in our family, Lord. Be in our marriage, Lord. And that's okay. But when we speak about our finances, we have a hard time to let go. We don't want to think about our giving. Remember, Jesus says, give and it will be given to you. And I have seen people leave the church because the pastor speaks about money. But the reality is that there is a problem about the heart of the person, about the heart of the individual. And let's not fall in the trap of this enemy. If you and I are growing in knowledge and Lord, growing in grace, we must also grow in our giving. You cannot be the same as last week or the week before or last year. And I've looked, and here's 7 months I'm here together with this church, and I've seen people growing spiritually. And that's a good thing. But it goes even with the tithing. When we grow, we must grow in all. In everything, we must grow. In our spiritual way, in our prayer, in our serving, but also in our tithing. We can't put that aside. How can God send a blessing upon the church? How can God send a blessing upon our families if we're robbing from Him? Would you like it if I go in your house and steal from you? I don't think so. You wouldn't like it if I come there and I come and take your 60 plasma TV and I run away with it. You won't be happy. You know what it seems here? I like to use this illustration, and I'm coming to a conclusion. You ever see a crocodile? They have short arms, is that right? It seems Christians are like this at times. They have a hard time to dig in and give. Give to the kingdom of God, to invest in the kingdom of God, so we can bless others. So we come. Nah, I can't give. But let me tell you something. If you take one watermelon seed and you plant that watermelon seed, many watermelons will come out and thousands of seeds will come out of it. It's the same with the kingdom of God. When you plant something into the kingdom of God, it's going to multiply and multiply and multiply. But the only thing that you and I must do is to plant it. If you don't plant it, it's not going to have a watermelon. If you don't plant into the kingdom of God, the finances that God has given to you, it cannot multiply. You cannot have the floodgates of heaven poured upon your life because you become stingy and you become those old Italian men. No, this is all mine. Tightened. You know, my wife's expression means these are like stingy people. Every country has, you know, every place that you go, there's someone that does something, you know, say they're stingy. We don't want to be stingy people. We got to understand the reason why we're giving. First of all, it's biblical for us. God is telling us. He's encouraging us through that. And the way he told Malachi, he's return to me. Give what belongs to me. Don't rob from me. And he's telling us, return to me and don't take what belongs to him. I know greater things will happen in this church. I know greater things will happen in this church. And we must believe that. So, as we pray for other things upon our families, upon our homes, let's continue and to give all our heart to the Lord, even by our giving. Increase our giving just a little. It would help us. It would help to invest the kingdom of God. And you will see we can bless others. We can bless others and lead them to Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. The Bible has so many promises for you and I about giving. And I want to conclude with this. This is a beautiful text that we're going to conclude. 2 Corinthians 9, verse 6 and 8. Remember this. The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And the person who sows generously will also reap generously. Watch this. This is exciting. Each person should do as he decide in his heart, not wickedly or out of necessity. For God loves a cheerful giver. But watch this. And God is able to make every grace overflow to you, so that in every way, always having everything you need, you may excel in every good work. That is a promise of God for you and I. He is able to make every grace overflow your life in every way that you can imagine. He's capable of doing, and always having everything you need. You will never run out of food. You will never run out of finances, because God is our provider. If you and I have a fridge today and you have a yogurt inside that fridge, you're considered rich. Into the kingdom of into this world itself. Some people don't even have a fridge. Some people are begging for food. You and I are blessed. And let's bless others with our giving. Let's bless others what God has given us. Because you know something? The beautiful promise is, in every way and always having everything you need. That's a promise. And I know God will provide. And I know God will provide for this church. I know God will provide for families. And I know God will give jobs and jobs to people in this place that you can even imagine. And we have heard a testimony of Diana. 22 months later, that company had called her back. Is that normal? 22 months later, you know how many CV resumes would have been broken and ripped up into pieces and put into garbage? But God had made that way for her. God has provided her a job. And God will provide jobs for every one of us here who are searching for a job, because I believe that. You know, you might be saying, but brother, I only gave $5. It's not worth it. It's not going to make it a big effect. No, it does make a big effect. What God is looking for is not even just the amount. It's our faithfulness in our giving. And what happens is even a consistency. You know, sometimes people come and say, oh, the pastor said I'm going to give him $10. He leaves me alone and that's it. And you run away. It's about consistency. You know, I'm going to give you a little tip. It's so easy for us to say, I'm going to put myself aside $20 a week. For example, $20 a week. And consistency doing $20 a week. It's just consistent. You will see it's going to be a lot easier. It's going to be a routine like anything else. But if you say, okay, I'm going to wait for the end of the month. Oh, but it's $500. That's pretty heavy, $500. But consistency in our giving. Now, if you keep the seed in your sack, like I said before, it's no good. But if you plant it, it multiplies. God has given us finances. And God has blessed us. He says, don't rob from me. Give. Give back what belongs to him, he says. And I know God will do great and mighty things upon our life. God always blessed faith. You know what it tells us? Now, as challenging as this, some of you might say, but I give my 10%. But our giving is what? is challenged our faith. So when our faith is challenged, it honors God. When our faith is challenged, it honors the Almighty God. When we have faith and trust in the Lord, God will honor you. God will honor you. Why do we give? To cultivate the heart of God. Why do we give? To be a faithful steward of God. Why do we give? In order to invest for the work of God. Why do we give? So we can recognize and receive the blessings of God. The Lord will bless us. He will open the floodgates of heaven because He tells us here, test me in this way, says the Lord of hosts. See if I will not open the floodgates of heaven. How many of us want to see the floodgates of heaven upon our homes? How many of us want to see the floodgates of heaven upon this church? I want to see it, and I want to start first in being obedient and giving all what I can to the kingdom of God. And when we do that, God will bless. Remember, it's not about having a bigger account, a big final account, money in your account. No, I'm looking for the spiritual blessing. That's what I'm looking for. More souls coming to know Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. Your sons and daughters who are astray from God will come to know Jesus Christ as the personal Savior. That's what it's all about. God wants the heart of the people. He does not need our money. He needs our heart, and He wants your heart, and He wants my heart this morning. Let's all stand. Let's close our eyes and bow. If you're not growing, it's because you don't have the desire to grow. We will never grow unless you want to grow. Father, we thank You for this morning as we touched on giving, tithing, oh God. At times it can be, Father, tough to hear, and sometimes we close our ears to this, but Lord, this morning we take Your word at our heart, Father. We thank You for Your word, for encouraging us, oh Lord. Lord, there's blessings when we do not steal from You, we do not rob from You, but when we give. Lord, we ask of You, Lord, to every family in this place, oh Lord, to help us, oh God. To help us, O Lord, first and foremost, O Lord, provide for the families who don't have a job, Lord. Father, open the right door for them, O God. I know there are many in this place that want to give, God, that have a heart to give, Lord. But Lord, at times, because of situations that happen, they're putting You last. But Lord, we want to change our priorities, our mindset. We want to change it. And Father, we want to give to You first and trust in You, Lord. And trust in Your promises that You will give in all our ways. In all of our ways You will give, Lord. We thank You, Father, for New Hope Christian Assembly. We thank You for the giving. We thank You for the tithing. We thank You that they faithfully give week after week, Lord. And we ask of You, Lord, to continue to pour out Your blessing upon every family here. I thank You, Lord, for this church. I thank You, Lord, for the way they support this church and the way they even support me, Lord, and my family. I thank You for that, God, and I ask of You that You continue to bless them tremendously, Lord, I pray. From this day forth, oh Lord, our hearts, we're going to continue to be tuned to You, Lord. And Lord, as when we hear Your word, as You've spoken to us this morning, we want to not just listen, not to be a passive or a selective listener, but we want to be an aggressive listener and apply Your word to our lives, Father. We thank You, Father, for New Hope Christian Assembly. For everyone is here, oh God, and I ask You to be with them as they go home. I pray in the name of Jesus. And all God's people say, amen. Amen.